Strike Zone. ABC Grandstand's baseball show.
Hi there, Chris Coleman with you on this week's edition of Strike Zone. With the World Series just about upon us, we could focus very much on the remarkable effort of Kansas City, who have now extended their postseason winning streak to 11 games. That's one short of the all-time record, which has been done twice by the New York Yankees, 1927 across to 32 and 1998 into 1999. Both those times, the Yankees won 12 successive postseason games. The Royals are also the first team ever to begin the postseason with 8 straight wins. We could focus on that, or we could have a look at something that's going to be far more important for Australian baseball, and that is the under-21 team to take part in the World Cup in Taiwan next month. You'll find out exactly why it's so important as the program unfolds today, but suffice to say, we're going to meet the manager of that team. We're going to meet one of the players who I reckon will be a star of that tournament, and indeed could be a star of the future. He picked up a Major League Baseball affiliation contract during the course of the past week as well. It's some great news for Travis McDonald from Sydney. Tony Harris, the manager of that under-21 side, with us. Warwick Petherbridge with some of the stuff you might have missed from baseball on the way as well. And don't forget, you can always talk about baseball with me on Twitter. Use the hashtag ABCStrike or find me at CJCAU.
Strike Zone.
Well, our first guest on the program today, you might be hearing a lot about this bloke in the not-too-distant future. His name is Travis McDonald. He was one of the star players at the 25 and under Australian Championships not so long ago. From there, well, very exciting times for him on a couple of fronts. Let's find out why. Travis, welcome to Strike Zone.
Hi, good to be on here.
Mate, let's talk about your performance at the under 25 National Championships firstly. Sounds like you had a pretty good time of it there.
Yeah, I did pretty well. You know, I played with a really good team, and I was lucky to have probably the best catcher in the country and Guy Edmonds catching me, and it was good to get back out there and put the New South Wales colours on, and for the first time since I got back from college.
And coming out with the New South Wales side to a pretty good result.
Yeah, it was a great result, and I was lucky enough to be the winning pitcher in the gold medal game against Perth, and it was just an awesome all-round tournament, and a great experience going up to Cairns for the first time in my life.
Well, congratulations on scoring that win in the final, and congratulations on scoring a contract with the Cincinnati Reds.
Thanks, mate.
Now, I believe that this has been on and off over a few years for you.
Yeah, they talked to me before I went to college when I was a young fellow in Australia, and I chose to go to college and did the 4 years there, and never got drafted out of college and put up some decent seasons, and just never worked out for me. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that they've given me, and I'm just going to keep working hard and get ready for spring training.
I like how you said that they were talking to you when you were a young fella. How old are you now?
22.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much. Making all of us in our 40s and over feel very, very old suddenly.
Yeah. Well, not many people sign when they're 22, so I'm actually very, very lucky, because most of the people that they sign are 16, 17, 18. After that, you're pretty much out of luck unless you get drafted out of college, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that the Reds have given me.
Now, I've been told there were a few scouts poking around there at that under-25 National Championships. What was it they've said to you that impressed them, that's led to you getting this contract now?
I think it's the fact that I can throw the ball where I want to now, and I attack hitters, and I have good control of my pitches, and I've just matured over the last few years, and am getting smarter and smarter at baseball, but got to learn more as you go on.
Okay, well, let's look ahead now, because some exciting times ahead. You'll be playing with the Blue Sox in the ABL this year, but your season's going to be a little bit interrupted by a side trip to Taiwan. And this tournament in Taiwan, the Under-21 World Cup, is shaping up as potentially the most important baseball series for an Australian team in about a decade, I'd reckon, since the silver medal at Athens, because the performance of the Under-21 team in this tournament could put them into this new Premier 12 tournament at a senior level. Has that been pointed out to you guys yet?
Yeah, I just actually heard it a couple of days ago.
What does that mean, being chosen as one of the overage players? We're allowed 6 players, 22 or 23, I think it is, in the under-21 squad. You're one of those 6. What does that mean to you to be chosen in that role?
Mate, just gave me goosebumps as you said it to me. It's the biggest privilege you can be given as a baseball player, is to represent your own country and represent Australia. When I've been away for a while, and the last time I played for Australia, I actually played for Tony Harris in the under-19 World Championships, and we won silver there. So I mean, I have a lot of good memories from playing for Australia, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I'm excited to play with a good bunch of guys.
What's your role likely to be over there in Taiwan next month?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a starter. As I've spoke to the pitching coach, I'm going to be starting for the Australian team, and just trying to keep us in the ball game, and keep our hitters in the game, and just try to win win one game at a time.
Okay, well, we hope you do well. We'll be keeping an eye on you and indeed all the Australian under 21 side. It's a very important tournament. We're going to talk to Tony Harris in just a sec. But Travis McDonald, congratulations on being the latest Aussie baseballer to score a deal as an MLB affiliated player with the Cincinnati Reds. We look forward to seeing you with the bright red cap on down the track.
Thanks a lot, mate. Appreciate it.
Travis McDonald from the Sydney Blue Sox and the Cincinnati Reds.
Strike zone.
Well, let's go from one of the players in the under-21 squad to the man who is tasked with bringing it all together, Tony Harris. He was on the program just a couple of weeks ago talking about the under-25 national championships. He's now focusing very much on what's happening in Taiwan next month with the 21-under team taking part in the World Cup. Tony, welcome back to Strike Zone.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here. Good to be here, mate.
You're a globetrotter. We've caught you in Korea. What's happening there before we talk about the under-21s?
I'm just finishing up some professional coverage, scouting-wise. I work for the Pirates and just finishing up the season here. So, mate, just doing the day job.
Now, I don't want to get bogged down with you. We'll go through scenarios later. But this tournament, as I keep saying, in my opinion, is almost close to the most important Australian baseball team in about a decade. Because a good result here, and by good result I mean sort of top four, maybe top five, could get Australia through to the Premier 12 competition at a senior level in 12 months' time, which would be a huge kick along for the sport.
Yeah, look, it really is a must-win for us, Chris. You know, in every sense of the word, you know, we don't have an enormous amount of tournaments that we can compete with and gain points for, which attribute towards the Premier 12. And this is one of our tournaments that we have that will contribute. And as you say, a good finish here will hopefully put us in good stead. And, you know, that's very much at the forefront of our mind when we put together this club and to try and go out and compete and, you know, do very, very well. And, you know, in our mind, we're going to win. You know, we're going to win. And that's internally, that's what we'll be talking about from as soon as we get everyone together in camp in Sydney prior to us leaving. And even the dialogue started to happen yesterday and today, when we've got together, we've announced the team, and communication's been going back and forth amongst the group. Is this club's all about winning, and not that we want to paint ourselves in a corner. We'll go and give it our best shot, but in our mindset, will be that you know, we're just not going there to make up the numbers. We're going there to do very well.
Now, looking at the teams that are taking part, there's a couple of things that I find interesting. One is no United States, no Canada. So, you know, there's a couple of teams that traditionally do well in the junior baseball. And Japan, number two ranked in Australia's pool. But Australia's in the pool of five teams as opposed to the pool of six. Does that give an advantage or a disadvantage being in that pool of five teams?
You would think if they threw a late team in there like a Cuba or whatever, it probably would be a little tougher for us. But being in five, you know, we come up against Japan on day one, which is going to be a tough matchup. But I think we'll be ready for them. And then you know, Netherlands game two, game three will be Nicaragua, game four will be Venezuela. It's all those games will be tough, whether you're playing five games or four games. I think it's just a matter of, you know, doing the best you can against those clubs that are in your pool, and then obviously the crossover afterwards. So, mate, we're just going to take it as, you know, the old cliche, game by game or day by day. But realistically, we're going to fire all bullets to beat Japan, and then we fire all bullets to beat the Netherlands, and then the same with Nicaragua and same with Venezuela. So that's just going to be our mindset, whether there's five or six in the pool. We don't really care. It gives us one extra day off, a day off prior to the organised day off, so it gives us a couple of days to regroup and hopefully headed towards the finals.
You had a long association with the under-18 side, and the bulk of this squad would be from your last two under-18 World Cups, the 2010 and the 2012. And I mention that because the 2010 side, of course, finished up second place, silver medal, and there'll be some of those guys back playing in this tournament. How much of a boost is that for a squad?
Well, I think it's great. Just when you said it, I got goosebumps.
That's two in the program today. That's a score.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, throughout the baseball fraternity, you know, I still talk to those guys on that silver medal club as champions, and you know, you're a silver medalist, and you know, we still hold that memory together. And and just when you mentioned that, I literally got goosebumps just thinking about the success we had back then, and you know, the groundbreaking feeling, I guess it was, for for junior teams and Australian junior teams. And you're right, there's a core group of that club on this club now. You know, some four years later, a lot more matured and a lot more experienced. But it's an older group too. So, and you know, the likes of some of the guys that are on this club that were on that silver medal club absolutely epitomise what playing for Australia is all about. And that's why they'll be on this club, and that's why this club will have success.
Now, I'd love to go through the entire squad, but it's too big to do that in full. What I will say is, as a fan of baseball in this country, and I reckon anyone who's a baseball fan should go to the Baseball Australia website, baseball.com.au, and have a look at the full squad, because I reckon I know every name in this squad. And that's got to be a huge advantage. That, you know, I would suggest in most other sports, if you were to name a national under-21 side, there'd be people who even your hardcore fans would struggle to name and or struggle to recognise. I reckon I know every name in this squad. How much of a plus is that?
Well, I think it's a big plus. You know, there's ABL experienced players in this. There's professional experienced players, and there's also some overage players, and by that I mean that we can have six over 21-year-old and under 23-year-old players, so that 22, 23-year-old type age group, as long as we have six of those and only three on the field at any one time. So we've got a balance of a couple of older guys. We've got a balance of ABL players that have got a year or two under their belt in the ABL. And then we've got a large portion of this club, all professionals, albeit young professionals. They've had maybe their first year in professional baseball just 2014, or some might have sniffed 2013. But that's a really, really nice balance of ball club where you've got the youth and the future, but guys that have had a lot of reps throughout the year and had a lot of at-bats and had a lot of training. So they're, you know, albeit a couple of weeks break, they're ready to go. Piece that together with some guys with ABL experience that are firing up for their ABL campaigns, and then some overage players. So altogether, I think it's a really nice balanced club. And as you say, there's not a name on there that baseball fans of Australia that wouldn't know.
Who are you most looking forward to using? And I know that's a really loaded question, because obviously you've got faith in all these guys, but who are you most looking forward to using during this squad, or during this tournament?
All 24 of them, Chris. look, we've tried to build this club with some older pitching, and most of those overage guys and those 22, 23-year-old guys are in our starting pitching, if you like. And I think, you know, any successful baseball organisation throughout history has been built around pitching and defence. So I feel that we've got some pretty good starters, the young pros of Gibbons and Geyer, that you've got Travis McDonald you've just spoken to, and come off a great college career and just signed a professional contract. Aaron Sookie's pitching the ABL, started all year for the Blue Sox last year. So there's three, four. Young Lachlan Wells, another potential starter for us, just signed a big contract with the Minnesota Twins. And the likes of Wilson Lee, who pitched for the Adelaide Bite last year, did an outstanding job and probably had his career year. So there's five or six guys, maybe seven guys, that we've got to get four good starters out of. And I think that's where the initial excitement goes. You think, well, we've got a pretty good rotation here. You know, we're going to, doesn't matter who or whatever club or whatever country we're facing or even whatever level, we've got some good experience. ABL's a pretty good level of play. We've got some guys that have started in ABL in Sookie and Lee. And some good college kids and some good pro kids. So I think, you know, our starting pitching overall, our rotation will be very, very solid, and hopefully gives us a good chance to get into the meat of the game and then score some runs. And then on the back end of our pitching, you know, you run a guy like a Sam Holland, a Sam Street, who I don't think many Australian fans would know. We just recently signed with the Pirates out of the college system this year. And then, of course, Todd Van Stensel, who's one of our senior national team closes. It's a pretty good starting rotation, pretty good middle, and a very experienced backside of the bullpen.
Tony, we wish you the very, very best of luck.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your support, mate. And, just know that these young men will be certainly wearing the green and gold very proudly and leaving it all out in the field and giving it our best crack, that's for sure.
No, indeed, and we've got a lot of faith in them. Thanks very much again, Tony. Good on you to have a chat with us again this week.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye, mate.
That's Tony Harris, who's the manager of the under-21 side representing Australia at the World Cup next month in Taiwan.
ABC Grandstand's baseball show. Strike Zone with Chris Coleman.
Now, this is the part of the program where you may wind up getting a headache. So, in an effort to give you moral support, I've brought in Warwick Perthebridge early this week. How's it going, Waz?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Now, as we've been discussing with Tony Harris, it is a really important series coming up next month, this Under-21 Baseball World Cup, because if the Aussie team does well enough in that competition at the Under-21 World Cup, then the senior team gets enough ranking, or Australia as a baseball nation gets enough ranking points to qualify for the Premier 12 in November next year.
So yes, big times ahead.
Big times ahead. I've had that many people say, Chris, how do you know what Australia's got to do? The answer is you sit down with a calculator and you come up with a very nasty looking list of numbers. Yeah, yeah. I have no life. So here's the situation. I'm going to try and explain this. And if it get, at any stage, if you get lost while I'm explaining this, I just want you to stop me and I'll try and explain it further.
I'm lost.
Okay. Yeah,
I haven't even started and I'm lost.
Okay. Now, the current situation is, so the top 12 teams go through to the P12. That's an automatic qualification system.
And we are
system.
Ranked 15.
Australia's ranked 15. Teams 1 to 10 can't be dislodged, okay? They've got enough points that they can't be dislodged.
Okay, so that's why we're starting at 11
to 15. We start at 11, yeah. 11 is Italy on 178 points. 12 is Panama. They're not competing at the...
Okay, so they're out of... So they're as high as they can go.
They're as high as they can go.
So they're on the danger zone, you would say, Chris. Right.
Well,
these
five teams are all in Kenny Loggins' territory, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
Mexico is next. They're on 123.28. Brazil is 14th. They're on 116, but they're not competing.
Well, they're out then.
So Brazil, gone.
So basically, you've got Italy, Panama, Mexico, and Australia vying for two places.
Yeah, we've got four trying to go
and
into...
And Panama's not playing.
Yeah, four going into two.
Danger zone.
Three going into two. It is Italy, Mexico, and Australia.
But you include Panama, Australia could fall over flat, and Panama could hold on to its place.
Okay, for Panama to hold on would require Mexico to finish 11th.
By Panama.
Last. So we're not going to count that as a realistic.
All right. So keep
situation.
Going with your maths, sir.
All right. Now, if Australia overtakes Italy.
Yes.
Right, it's an automatic qualification for Premier 12.
Yes.
Right. For Australia to overtake Italy, Australia must finish second at the Under-21 World Cup next month.
Okay.
And Italy must then finish 10th or 11th.
Okay.
Or Australia would finish first at the Under-21 World Cup, and Italy would then have to finish 5th or lower.
Go Aussies, go.
Right. Now that's not likely for both of those things to happen. The Australian team, by the way, and I've mentioned this elsewhere, at the Under-18 World Cup in 2010. Now, some of these players, I'm sure, were in that Under-18 World Cup in 2010. Australia finished second.
Yes.
Italy finished 8th.
Well, that's good times.
Yeah. So, and Mexico didn't compete. At the 2012 Under-18 World Cup, and again, I haven't checked the rosters. You know, this took me too long to do. Australia finished 9th at the 2012 Under-18 World Cup. Italy finished 10th, and again, Mexico didn't compete. So, you know, there's a mixed form line there.
Okay, Australia, just please win so Chris never has to do this again.
Let's talk about, though, Australia getting past Mexico, because that's really the best chance.
Yes.
Right? Now, to get past Panama, Australia needs to finish 5th or better.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, actually, I could finish 6th and get past, but that doesn't get them past Mexico as well. So to get past, if Australia finishes 5th, Mexico must finish 10th or lower.
And then you go up a place and up a place.
Yeah,
so
Australia would overtake Mexico and overtake Panama.
And then so for every position Australia finishes better, it gives us a greater chance.
Yeah. If Australia can finish 4th, Mexico must finish 9th. This is where it gets good. If Australia can finish 3rd, Mexico must finish 4th or lower.
Because of how high the points are as you get up towards the top,
the further up you go, there are more points allocated. So if Australia finishes 3rd, 2nd or 1st, if they finish 1st, they go through. That's a given. But if they finish 3rd or 2nd, it just means they have to finish above Mexico. It is entirely possible, because of the way baseball works, that Australia and Mexico could wind up in a 3rd versus 4th playoff. And that's the point I was working towards with this.
Oh my God, I just still want to keep singing Danger Zone.
So it could be, that's how it could all work out. It is all up on Twitter and on the ABL fans page on Facebook. I've put it all up in some detail. There's one other one that I do particularly like, though. I should mention this. If Mexico finishes 1st and Australia finishes 2nd and Italy finishes 10th or 11th, then Australia and Mexico would both qualify and Italy would fall out. It's the only way it can happen.
My friend, you have put way too much time into this, and my brain hurts, and I didn't even do any of it.
Okay, you can read it all on Twitter, and we might try and put it up somewhere else on an Australian Broadcasting Corporation blog somewhere.
Yes, you should put it with our link this week.
We'll try.
Put a link to that.
link to that. If you want a headache, read this.
Yes.
Okay, so having brought you in early, I've made one fatal error here, Woz.
Yes.
I haven't actually asked you beforehand what you wanted to talk about.
Chris, you don't have a list, friend.
Well, that's helpful.
Look, I had a phone call from a friend of ours who shall remain nameless. I don't give my sources away.
Hi, Clatsy.
Clatsy doesn't have my phone number.
Hi, Deeksie.
Not Deeksie.
Oh, okay.
No, someone else. I'm not going to give away names. Okay. But all I want to say is they thought that I was a little harsh on you last week.
A little.
A little harsh.
That's in the same way that the sun's a little bit warm.
Hang on.
Well, the ocean's a little bit deep.
But Chris, look. Here's the big issue for me this week, and you'll wonder why there isn't my usual 37 pages of paper in front of me.
Mm.
I've had a long week, Chris. I'm working on short rest.
That's my problem, because...
If pitches won't work on short rest, why should I?
Yeah.
It's the big article of the off-season, short rest.
Short rest, yeah.
Is it good? Is it bad? Now, I'm thinking, Chris, when you only have to pitch once maybe a week, and you're earning upwards of $30 million a season. You pitch, my friend.
We did the maths on Kershaw at the start of the season, and it's something like $10,000 a pitch.
No, but for Kershaw,
yeah,
he lost, yes,
yeah,
but he pitched.
He pitched.
There was the Washington National situation where Matt Williams, me come here for job. What was that about, friend?
Yeah.
But look, short rest, it won't go away. But look,
short rest will never go away. There'll be pitchers who'll do it, and there'll be others who won't.
This is a genuine, genuine question.
Yes.
Do not think that this is loaded. It is only slightly loaded.
The first time for everything, yeah.
Free agency.
Mm.
$268 million Australian.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Just here we go.
Okay.
Kemp. Has returned successfully for you.
Yes.
Ethier.
Yes.
Puig.
Yeah.
Crawford.
Yeah.
Four
into three doesn't go, does it?
In your opinion, as a loyal Dodgers fan...
That's a really tough question.
Who is not suiting up in a Dodgers shirt on opening day? And everyone out there on Twitter, I want your opinions at It's Was Time. No, I think it's a
ABC strike.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. I'm going to go out there.
It's a great question. Before you go out there,
okay.
I'm going to give you my answer. As you said, Kemp's rehabbed successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kemp has been good. Ethier, I'm just a fan of Ethier. I like Ethier.
Yes.
Which means we're down to two.
Puig and Crawford.
Puig and Crawford. And I'm probably going to surprise you with which way I go.
Okay.
I think Puig's two up and down.
Well, see, I think it's going to be Puig as well, because out of the four of them, not only is he the most inconsistent, like, he does have talent, but talent can only get you so far.
He's done enough silly things.
The erratic clubhouse behaviour. He also has, probably for other clubs to take him on, the most friendliest contract out of the four.
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking, was if they're going to offload one of them, and the odds are they are, it's the deal that won't quite... I mean, look, let's face it, though. Right now, the Dodgers have more money than God, so it doesn't really financially...
I think, honestly, one of those four, because of the backup with you, and you've got to remember they've got backups like Van Slyke as well.
Mm.
So there's too much quality for them to be sitting on the pine.
How many times this season... I know you want to go into other stuff, so I'll just say, how many times this season did we see Puig do something silly around the bases? Go too far...
It's not his fielding, it's his running.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. It's his running around the base, in the field.
Coke machine on legs.
You know, 9 to 5 and out, thank you very much. Yeah, it's quite enjoyable to watch. But now I reckon if one of those four is going, I reckon it'll be Puig.
Yes, no, okay, thank you. Chip Hale. I know you're thinking, who is Chip Hale?
Hey, Woz.
Yes.
Who's Chip Hale?
Chip Hale is the new manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Is he?
For 2015. Good luck with that.
The only way is up.
Here's the thing, though. He came out saying it's good to be home. Mm. So I thought I wanted to research this.
Okay.
He, as a player, he had two stints with the Minnesota Twins between 1989 and 96.
Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Arizona.
He was an LA Dodger in 1997. That was the end of his playing career.
How many games did he play for the Dodgers?
Maybe 11.
Okay.
And, you know, 11, 10 of them he was dragging a hot dog cart.
Uh-huh.
In 2006 to 2009, he was a minor league manager and was a coach in the Diamondbacks system.
Mm-hmm.
He was a coach for 2 years at the Mets, and the last three seasons, he was the bench coach at the Oakland A's.
Okay.
So, when you've spent seven seasons, the majority of your baseball career in Minnesota, how is Arizona home? Well, when you're not born or bred Arizona?
Well, that was my next question, is where was he born? But I now see it's San Jose, California.
Yes, look, Arizona Diamondback fans, you new manager may have you confused already.
Okay, yeah.
Hashtag bring back Kirk Gibson.
Just a question at this point. If Chip Hale, now that he says he's glad to be home in Arizona, if he signals to steal home, will someone try and steal second instead?
I think they're going to run straight for the fence for the bullpen.
Okay, right.
Look, Brandon Finnegan. I said each week we're going to talk about someone a little bit different. Brandon Finnegan, relief pitcher for the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
All-around legend.
Yes.
The power of Twitter, my friend, I know you've been talking about it, but got a fan who asked him just randomly on Twitter, and he got him two tickets to Game 3 of the American League Championship Series.
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Then said fan said, I will take you out with what little money I have for barbecue dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
To which Finnegan said, no, I will just come with you to dinner, and you don't have to pay for me for anything. Let's just go and have dinner.
Oh, that's awesome.
That random awesome. Nice guy that, of the year
that,
award.
That is an awesome get. Well done, you, for finding that.
Brandon Finnegan.
Yep.
Keep on. Okay, now, look, here we go. Cooperstown. Chris, what gets into Cooperstown, my friend? Oh. Like, seriously.
Hey, Woz.
Yes.
You haven't asked this for at least a week. What gets into Cooperstown lately?
Colton Wong. Yeah. From the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Hit the
I know what he did.
The shredded jersey after the Game 2 home run winning. Yeah. Now,
I know.
And you know that this that said shredded jerseys.
Yeah.
No. Game 2 of the NLCS against the Giants.
Yeah.
Hit the game-winning home run.
Yeah.
Got his jersey ripped in half off his body by his teammates. Now, that's not the fact
that... Sorry, I haven't forgiven him for what he did the week before.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that.
But no. You actually passed up the opportunity to take a cheap shot?
No. Colton, who cared? That was a week ago. He buried you a week ago. This is even dumber. Yeah. Anyway.
His shirt.
Ripped in half.
Ripped in half.
Going to Cooperstown. Authenticated each half.
Why?
I don't know. Same jersey, two pieces, each authenticated.
Okay, if it was a walk-off home run, bottom of the 13th, Game 7 of the World Series, yeah, by all means, put it in Cooperstown. It wasn't even a series-deciding shirt.
I know, anyway.
And I don't like him either.
And a close friend.
Personal feelings getting in the way there.
I know. Yes. Jonathan Papelbon.
Yes.
Philadelphia Phillies closer. Yes. Ex-Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
All-around nutbag.
You say that with the greatest of respect.
I love him. In America, college sports, college football, big deal.
Mm.
Turns up on college game day in America.
Yeah.
In true Jonathan Papelbon fashion.
Mm.
Look it up online. You'll see a picture of him getting off the bus.
Is this in the suit?
The maroon suit with the cigar and the live bulldog dancing.
Now,
have you seen this?
I've seen the pictures. Why?
I don't know.
Okay, right.
I don't know, but look, seriously, you got to look it up. Jonathan Papelbon, maroon suit, bulldog.
Yeah.
But actually, Chris, here's the saddest one. Our good friend, Dan Zimborski, a friend of our show.
Yes, we've spoken to Dan earlier this year. Yes.
Look,
Hi, Dan.
He kind of made me, he's, you know what? I know I pick on you and the Dodgers, but now him and his Orioles, next week, they're going down. he's ruined Christmas for me, Chris. Did you know that Billy Bean owes a thank you to Rachel Phelps from the movie Major League?
Why?
For inventing Moneyball. It has been revealed that there is a different original ending to Major League, where Rachel Phelps, the mean team owner, talks to the manager before the big game and says, "How do you think, you know, who do you think scouted all these players and put them together? I only got this information leaked to you so you would all hate me and play better."
So, that would have ruined the movie.
Exactly. So they showed it, and it did horribly in test screening, so they got rid of it. That's why people always ask, well, if they did so well, why didn't she start trading players and getting rid of players?
Moneyball.
Yeah. So Rachel Phelps invented Moneyball. Christmas over.
Okay. So did Dan reveal that?
Dan put it up on Twitter, and I was just like, now I am coming after you, Dan Zimborski.
Oh, dear. Dan, you've upset Woz. You've made a very, very big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We'll catch you. It's going to be a very, very busy show next week, Woz. You're going to be on a very short leash time-wise because we've got to preview the ABL season next week. But
I'll do what I want.
We'll have you back next week. I think it might be a grand total of about 4.5 minutes for everyone next week.
I think it's farewell for next week, so I thought I'd get it all done this week.
Okay. Thank you, Woz.
Bye, Chris.
Warwick Featherbridge. Find him on Twitter at It's Woz Time with a W-O-Z. Find me at CJCAU and talk baseball with us using the hashtag ABC Strike. Catch you next week.